Welcome, fellow confidence crusaders, neuro nerds, and success equalizers. This is your podcast, Real Confidence. I'm your host, Alyssa DeVere, and I'll be sharing a bit of basic brain science, some surprising social secrets, and a touch of tough love. Why? Because I believe confidence is everyone's fundamental right and choice. So let's get to it. John Brewer Jr., I am not only grateful that you're here today, but I want to thank you for all the service that you've provided the country. And maybe you could even just start off introducing yourself and some of your background. That would be really great.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here to kind of help your audience with hopefully some topics on confidence that relate to my experience. And so really my experiences is I joined Army Special Forces back in 2011. And then I maintained in active duty for 8 years. And with that, at first I was what's called a weapons sergeant, which is kind of the guy on the team who's supposed to understand different weapon systems, employment, tactics, and things of that nature. And then I deployed twice with 5th Special Forces Group to Syria during a conflict with ISIS. And then also once after that, I decided to reclass to a medic. And so my time during the National Guard, which has been the past 3 years, I just recently got out, I was a medic. So I changed my MOS, my job. So I wasn't no longer working, as the, was called an 18 Bravo, the weapons sergeant. I was then, solely the medic, which actually my time in the Maryland National Guard is more so training people for our selection process that we go through. So it's more so that, but at the same time, my job at the time was medic. So, and since then, I did get out of the military and trying to, do new ventures and kind of, start new stuff. So, but yeah, that is most of my background and where most of my experience comes from.
That's great. In a way that I can't even express, I'm so grateful. Like I said, that you're here sharing some of your knowledge and wisdom. And then at the same time, also want to be very clear, the work that you have done in the past is so inspiring, and I appreciate it. I'm going to ask you some naive questions because I do a lot of work with various military people, but I don't think I've ever actually had a one-on-one with somebody in special forces. And I mm-hmm. personally don't know what the difference is and what that really means. And I have a feeling some of our listeners are curious too. What does it mean to be in special forces?
Yeah. So the first thing is, a lot of times there's confusion between Army Special Forces and Special Operations. Obviously the news kind of, they use that, sometimes in different contexts, but truly, so Special Operations is a big community and it's all branches and it's not very specific. Army Special Forces is more specific to obviously the Army. And then also the nickname is Green Berets. And really it's just a team of 12 individuals that, each kind of have their own skill set, their own job, and then they're brought together to then be put on missions that are more unconventional. Because usually the Army, we haven't had a conventional war in a long time, but when it comes to Army Special Forces, what ends up happening is that we get put on more unconventional mission sets. The most relevant has been counterterrorism, counterinsurgency with ISIS, and things of that nature, foreign internal defense. So those types of mission sets that are less about, large units movement and taking territory and maintaining terrain. It's more so, which that can happen as well, but it's more so some of the unconventional stuff that that is less that it, that a 12 man team can do instead of whole unit or units so to speak.
Well, today we're talking about self-reliance, and so I'm curious, mm-hmm. Ty, you're on this team, you all have to really rely on each other. Let's start with that. I mean, how hard is it to build that teamwork and then, kind of bring yourself into that, like, hey, I'm here for everyone else, the 11 other people that are here. I mean, that's gotta be a skill set. Can you train for that? Is that something that you screen for?
Yeah. So I actually, our training is pretty long. It's depending on what job you're doing, it's either a year or a year and a half of training that you go through with different phases. And some of the phases, everybody's together. doing the same stuff. Some of it is MOS specific to where you go off and do your own job and train in your specific job task. But truly, you know, everybody generally has the same mindset. And, you know, the big thing nowadays is multidisciplinary teams. You're starting to see that a lot everywhere. And that's pretty much what it is. It's just people who they do have their job specific tasks, but they still know how, and they do that, you know, and with autonomy, but at the same time, they know how to bring it together and use it as a team rather than just, you know, just be purely focused on their individual tasks. So it's definitely a lot of collaboration, and everybody's on the same page. They have to be, we all have to know, you know, what everybody else is doing at the same time that we're doing our own stuff. And then it just all comes together and syncs. And that's truly where it comes in at, is you got to make sure everything syncs together the way it does. And, you know, leadership does that, but at the same time, everybody on the, you know, the second tier knows how to do that as well. So it's less micromanagement, so to speak.
Yeah. So, you know, you have the benefit, I guess, of having that training, having that time together, because there mm-hmm. are, and you called out three different levels of confidence, really, if I, you know, can somewhat intermingle self, you know, this idea of reliance with confidence. You have to believe in the leader, you have to believe in your team, yeah. and you have to believe in yourself that not only will it come together, that it can come together, right? Yeah. And, you know, back to kind of, you join the Army, you're taking on these very, as you put, special assignments, you know, unconventional assignments. Where does the confidence come from to do that? And let alone, you know, to even say, yeah, I can do this. And then you get there. How do you build the confidence in yourself, let alone your team?
Yeah. Well, that, you know, that I think, you know, there's a little bit of that needs to come before you even get to, you know, that process, because obviously in high school, my confidence came from wrestling. And so when I started wrestling, I found that I was pretty decent at it. And then from there, that just became my mindset of, like, you know, this confidence of, and I've talked about it before, to where, you know, and these individuals who are at the peak level of whatever, you know, athletics or whatever they're doing, there's a little bit of the cockiness that comes into that. And I'm not saying you have to brag about it all the time, but you have to believe that you are the best at what you do, because if you don't, then you're not going to be. And truly, you know, this also goes back to fake it till you make it type of mentality. And there was a lot of that I went through in training, to where I might have not, you know, I definitely wasn't number one or the best, but when it came to it, you know, to it, I knew that no matter what, I was going to pass through whatever I was going through. And if I ever doubted myself, I knew that was just going to increase my chances of not getting to where I wanted to be. So I could never, ever doubt myself. And that's kind of, you know, with practice, you have to be able to just get away of that self-doubt, you know, that, you know, talking to yourself, that internal dialogue saying that you can't do it. But at the same time, there has to be a little bit of cockiness. And I think that's where truly confidence comes from, is that balance of cockiness and humbleness and being able to use those together at the same time.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying, and I don't disagree. I will say that just because of somebody who studies this and we have broken down the difference between cockiness and confidence, I would argue yeah. that it's not cocky to tell yourself, hey, if somebody else can do it, I can do it too, right? It's a self-belief yeah. that overrides yeah. the self-doubt. You know, it's like those little critters that are on your shoulders saying, you can do it. No, you can't. Yeah, right. And being very clear with yourself saying, knock it off. I can do this. And, you know, yeah. that's really tremendous. So like when you were doing, and of course, we're not going to talk the details of any one of your missions, but you here you are in some pretty scary situations, I'm sure, where that voice in the head is going, you know, I don't think you're going to be able to do this. Like, what do you do?
Well, the funny thing about that is some of my more, you know, in real life with life or death experiences, you really don't think about that at all. It's just, and maybe that's a lot of to do with the training that we went through and having that experience and, you know, scenario based training that we do. So we're already conditioned to deal with that type of stuff. I'd say more so where my panic would come from is during training, because at any point in time during what we call the qualification course, which is what we go through before we graduate and then move on to a unit, you can fail out of it and go to a regular Army unit. And I would say I was more deathly afraid of that happening than I was at any point in time on deployment of something happening to me. And really that's because, you know, you have to live with that, right? To where you have a failure and then you live with that for the rest of your career or whatever it might be. But so at the same time, so that type of, like I said before, and I actually did fail out through a certain a course that we went through, the medic course, actually the first time of me going through. And then that's when I reclassed to weapons sergeant. And I was definitely afraid of being kicked out the Q course at that point in time. And really it was just about understanding what happened, knowing that it did happen, and then just moving past it as fast as possible. Because really, if I were to carry that with me at an emotional level for any period of time, it would have started seeping into other my other performances during other phases of training. So you really have to have, like, it was just what, I forget that show now. It's called Ted Lasso. There it is. He talks about having a goldfish brain, to where, you're very short, your short-term memory is very quick, and there's a quick turnaround. You have to forget about the bad stuff so that you can move on and perform at a high level.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. So, part of I think what you're going to tell me about being self-reliant is having that self-awareness that, like, that knock it off moment where you're like, come on, you're not being rational, you're not being fair to yourself. It's not even true, probably. So, talk to me a little bit about self-reliance and why did you pick that area to kind of focus your next set of career moves? Like, what is it about that space that draws you in?
So really what it is, I have a vision of society to where everybody was self-reliant, that we would be able to, that we would lose a lot of our societal issues that we have, because there's a lot of dependency, and instead of enabling individuals to better themselves and their situation, we're more so causing dependencies, which is not good in any form or fashion. And so what ends up happening is when you teach self-reliance, it's a little bit liberating to where they understand that, hey, I have more opportunity. I'm not, I can, and that's not saying that you do everything, because obviously we delegate tasks to certain organizations, services, products that, we don't have time to do ourselves. But at the same time, we still understand those processes and those services, so that if something was a little iffy about it, we can say, hey, I know that, I have knowledge of this. So when you do it a different way, I want you to either tell me why you're doing it differently, or however it might be. And so that's really truly where self-reliance comes from, is just understanding that, it's liberating. You're able to do a lot more with your life. And then it's not saying that you still do everything yourself. It's just saying that, hey, you have an understanding of how things go. So you're never at the mercy of others. And that's truly where I want society to get, is that we're not at the mercy of anybody. We can, if we needed to, we can do it ourselves.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting construct, to be honest with you. And it very much in parallel with the way that I believe too. The name of my confidence book is Confidence is a Choice. It's that ability to give somebody agency, right? To enable or power or equip them, you can pick your favorite word there, to make those decisions to say, yeah, I can do this. That doesn't, you're right. It doesn't mean that you can't or shouldn't get other people's input and ideas and data and research and think about things, of course. But it whether and I sit here and I can't even imagine being in some of the situations you've been where you have to make those decisions for yourself, life or death. But give me some examples that you hear now from people. What is the cost of not being self-reliant? What's what they come to you and they're like, John, I need help. Why are they asking for help?
So, in the realm of, obviously from a military training, things like that, mostly I focus on safety and security, and then also the medical side, because I think that's very important. And it's also a very good example of the self-reliance, because a lot of first aid techniques is very simple, and though it might seem overwhelming to, a layman's person, to where, they've had no medical training themselves, the point of self-reliance for medical, care would, when it comes down to it, is very important. Because one, when you call the ambulance, you're going to be waiting, however long. It could be 5, 10 minutes, depending on where you're at. It could be longer than that. But during that time, someone might be losing their life, and it's probably a loved one. And so that's the good example of, like, for self-reliance, for being able to provide at least basic first aid. One, you're not having to rely on a third party to get there and then provide the first aid. You can do it there yourself. you, if you have the confidence to do so, you know that you're able to, you know, do CPR or stop a bleed, or, you know, just calm the person down enough to where, you know, the situation is less chaotic for everybody, which is a big thing too, because obviously chaos, then you're, you know, your vitals go up, which is not good in any traumatic scenario. So, you know, it just goes along with that to where, you know, yes, it's not the definitive care, because obviously they would have to still go to the hospital, things like that. And just like with any other systems in place, there's probably still going to be another level that service or operation goes to, but at least you can take care of it from the foundation or from the start. And that's truly where self-reliance is the key.
It calls to mind a podcast that I did not too long ago on the different types of enablement, right? You can be an enabler if you are enabling somebody to become self-reliant, right? If you're teaching or helping somebody or being a thought partner, just helping them sort through things. But I think you're right, when you are completely dependent on somebody else. I'm wondering, you know, it's just a fresh example in my head. My son came back from visiting his grandparents, and, you know, he had to reprogram all the TV, not reprogram, but he had to show them how to use the TV remotes and all the phones and everything. And, you know, I think that, you know, as we get older, you know, I wonder, you know, do you see differences in age groups as far as their ability to become self-reliant or their resistance to be reliant, self-reliant?
Honestly, my mother is kind of, me growing up, I remember my mother just being like a go-getter, you know, just everything. She did everything. And then, you know, just recently it's gotten to the point where she's asking me a lot of questions on how to do stuff. And I was like, well, Mom, I thought you knew how to do this. You know, this is things, you know, obviously over time, you know, there's certain systems that have changed and technology and things like that, but it's relatively all the same. And so I think with age, you know, there comes a little bit of, especially with technology, the way it is, you start to think that, you know, things have far exceeded your understanding. And in some cases that's true, but also, like, you know, we're definitely not in sci-fi society yet. So nothing is ever truly out of grasp for anybody to understand. And there's and actually I've looked at children's books that that actually you know, explain quantum physics and stuff like that. So and that's truly what everybody should be doing, is find whatever education level you're at for these concepts and just take it for what it is, because you don't have to be an expert on it truly. You just need to be able to understand the foundation to it or the core concepts. And then, like I said, just use it for what it's worth for you. But it's definitely something that I think people should be curious about and question and things of that nature.
All right. Well, sometimes these things are easier said than done. And, you know, I think somebody who's listening may be like, I'm not John, I can't do what he does. Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, give a little love to our sponsors, and come back. I want you to really give listeners an idea of things that they can do to become more self-reliant. Very, you know, non-weapons grade things that they can do today. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This podcast was sponsored by the American Confidence Institute. ACI uses basic brain science to teach you not what, but how to think with more confidence. ACI is endorsed by top universities and business experts, and it is accredited by the Society for Human Resource Management and the International Coaching Federation. Learn more about ACI's uniquely empowering keynotes, workshops, online training, and coaching certification at www.americanconfidenceinstitute.com.
All right, John, I'm ready. If somebody is literally sitting there listening to this podcast going, well, I'd like to be less dependent on other people, other things, what are some of the suggestions that you can give them that they can do right now?
Mm-hmm. So first thing is understanding yourself, and that's just having the awareness of, one, you know, what you want out of life and your aspirations, your purpose and things like that. Because obviously all that will align, you know, whatever you need to do will align with that purpose. But also what that also entails is understanding your strengths and limitations and being able to understand that, yes, there are some things that I'm not that great at. And then there's other things that I am. And you want to both, you know, you want to obviously still improve your strengths, but then at the same time, kind of limit the gaps in your limitations. The second thing would be question everything. And I don't necessarily mean you know, become a conspiracy theorist, although sometimes that's warranted. But also at the same time, when people, like especially professional services, tell you something, ask them why that's the case. Because anytime, like I have a plumber that comes in and he says he's going to do whatever he's going to do, I ask him, why are you going to do that? And how are you going to do it? And, you know, one, that's for my knowledge. And two, is also to vet if he knows what he's talking about or if he's just trying to upsell me on a service. And then three, it's just to be curious and seek new experiences, because truly perspective is where we gain a lot of knowledge and confidence. And I think that really being curious and seeking those new experiences will, you know, be leaps and bounds of what anything else that you could probably do in your life, because, you know, we have that comfort zone and we like to stay there, but every now and then we need to venture out of that and really start to see what's outside of our normal view of the world, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think podcasts are particularly great ways to explore curiosity. So, you know, here I was asking you even questions about what is special words, right? And you know, but I think as a general person, anyone who knows me well would say it. You know, I'm always curious, asking questions, not just because I want to feed my own, you know, knowledge bank, but in many ways it allows me then to connect with other people. So it's not as much self-reliant as it is connecting too, right? I think that opens some really nice doors. Maybe that team that you are on, you know, when you get to know people better, your self-reliance can reduce because you know that other people have your back if you need them. So it's interesting full circle here. John, you and your book, let's talk about that, where people can find you and the book, and the best way to reach you if they have more questions.
Right. So my book is Fight for Your Best Life. And it is a self-defense kind of safety and security book, but it is definitely as tones of self-help. And really it's meant to better your entire life rather than just the safety and security aspect of it. But that is available on Amazon. And then also people can find me on LinkedIn, especially if you want to collaborate professionally. And then also have a website, mindshieldandspear.com, which will have info on the book and then also some other services that I will be providing in the future.
Great. And we'll, of course, include all of that on the show notes. So thank you so much, listeners, for being here with us today. John, thank you for sharing. Again, thank you for your service, your support, and your mission to help us make the world a lot more self-reliant and in that way, more confident.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Before we totally wrap up, I want to let you know that full transcripts and show notes for this and other Real Confidence episodes can be found on www.AmericanConfidenceInstitute.com/podcast. I also want to remind you once again that the best way to get confidence is to give it to others, and you can do it just by liking and sharing this episode on your preferred podcast and social media channels. You can even give me some confidence by noting topics you'd like me to consider for the future. So for now, this is Alyssa DeVere. Thank you for helping to bring more confidence to the world. Master editing done by Ben Weinstein, with original music performed and composed by Jeff Mitchell. Real Confidence is a production of American Confidence Institute. All rights reserved.